Welcome to New Hope for Life. We're dedicated to helping you find your true meaning and value in God. No matter what life is throwing your way, our hope is that you begin to experience the power and victory in God's Word. Pastor Colin Grigg will show you how you can overcome your circumstances and gain the victory as God intended. With more than 30 years of ministry experience, Pastor Colin has served both as a local pastor and international conference speaker, and by God's grace, has helped many people find new hope to deal with the very real challenges that arise in our everyday lives. Now for today's message with Pastor Colin Grigg.
When we're trusting God, that's when you're in perfection. Okay, because the just shall live by faith. And when you as a little child are going, God, I can't see head from tail, I can't see top from bottom, but Lord, I'm trusting you, you're in the right place. And it can often be when we are in a place of confusion and we don't know what's up and what's down and where to go in a situation. That can be the time when you're most in the Holy Ghost, you know that? Because you don't have preconceived ideas about what's happening and where you're going to be going. All right. You're fresh with God and you're seeking Him and saying, Lord, show me the way. Show me the way. I just want to know the way. Show me the way, Lord, and we'll walk in you. Okay, the next one is Psalm 18:20. Just happens to be 10 verses away from the one before. And it says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, He has recompensed me. Now, I just want to go back over those four verses and point out a couple of things that are of underline. Up in John 12:26, it says, follow me. Okay? Following God is listening to the voice of God. That's trusting God, isn't it? These terms are all very similar in their meaning spiritually. Okay? They're different words, but they mean the same thing. Following God is trusting God. Yes? Yes. Must be. Must be. Okay, the next one in Jeremiah is does not obey my voice. Okay, so then you're not following God, are you? Is there anyone? Okay, so you're not following God. And in Psalm 18:30, the word perfect. And perfection is not perfection as we might rate it or as the world rates it. Perfection is when we are trusting God. Hallelujah. And then the last one, righteousness. Now, we're going to see in a minute what the Bible thinks of our own righteousness. So we don't rely on our own righteousness, okay? It's His righteousness in us when we submit ourselves to Him and walk with Him. So it's all about submission. It's all about walking with Him, saints. And believe me, we need to be these people today in this generation if we're going to turn things around that we see on the outward appearance, okay? God wants to do it, but He wants to find people who are willing and able to do that, okay? So you may know God, but does He know you? It's important, isn't it? You can say, yeah, I know Jesus. Well, yeah, but does He know you? And it says in Matthew 7, 21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, it's one thing for us to know Jesus, but does He know you? You know, if you go and knock on the president's door at the White House, I doubt you'll get in. In fact, you'd be arrested before you got there. But even if he came to answering it, is he going to let you in? He'd just say, who are you? Go away. And it's a similar thing. If we don't have a relationship with Jesus, see, Christianity is all about relationship. Whenever I'm sharing with people who are not saved about Christianity, I say it's relationship with God. It's a relationship that you have with God, and your life is spent developing that relationship. If we're not in relationship with God, we ain't going to heaven. You might sit in church every week of the year for 60 years, I don't know. But it's just because you sleep in an airplane hangar doesn't make you an airplane, does it? And so it's the same. Just because we come to church doesn't make us a Christian. It's great we come to church. Please come to church. We need to do that. But we're pointing out you know, some pretty strong and straight words today, but we need to be waking up. The church needs to wake up and come out of its sleep and really get serious about serving God. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you. This is Jesus' prayer to God in John 17. He says that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Now, Jesus is talking about himself there, but he's talking in the third person because he's talking with the Father about the Trinity. Psalm 91:14 says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Hallelujah. It's all about free will. It's all about our own decision. I can't make a decision for you. You can't make a decision for me. We all stand before God alone, and we all give him an answer on our own. We need to be qualified saints and walk in that, praise God. Now, I'm not saying you're not serving God. I'm not accusing people of that, but I'm just preaching the truth. Amen? And when we hear the truth, we should rejoice because it's the gospel of God. It's the gospel that sets us free. Nothing else does. Debbie's already said it today. There's only one answer, and it's Jesus. There's no other answer in the whole world. And if we don't seek him, he can't flow through us. He needs vessels today who are willing to surrender their lives and say, Lord, I'm walking with you. And I'm not telling you to go and quit your job or anything like that, but what you need to be doing is acknowledging God and building a habit of acknowledging him. Because the Bible says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Amen? So the first secret to walking in the Spirit is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And that's where I'm quoting from. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not half your heart, not 80% of your heart, not 99.9%, but all your heart. To trust the Lord with all your heart. That's when God knows when we're 100%. He knows when we're not. Okay? Now, you know, we need to repent when we're not, and we need to come back to him. Thank God for Jesus' death on the cross. Amen. We celebrate a communion today, and we give thanks to God for what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Faith is trusting in God even when you don't know his plan. Okay? Now, God doesn't set out his plan before you, and you know what you're going to be doing in 10 years' time. In fact, you might not even know what you're going to be doing tomorrow. Okay? When you're walking in the Spirit, it's exciting. But God will lead you and guide you by his Spirit. And as I said, we need to have our senses exercised, as Hebrews 5:14 tells us. I haven't got this down. If you want to write that down, this is how you know that you're walking in the Spirit, is to have your senses exercised. As I said before, it's like riding a bike. First time you get on a bike, you fall flat on your face. The second time, you might go a little further. You know, eventually, you get it right. And then you never forget. You can always ride a bike from that point on. It's a little bit like that with God. When you know the voice of the Holy Ghost, you don't need any further training. You know when God is speaking and you know what he is saying. So you can walk faithfully in him. Amen. Praise God. So God is always present even when you are unaware of him. He's always there. We need to remind ourselves of that. I need to remind myself of that. Sometimes, you know, we get so overwhelmed with life and things come upon us, and we get our mind focused on the problem instead of the answer, which is Jesus. And we need to remind ourselves that Jesus is there. He cares for you. And this is my point today, is that you need to know that Jesus is with you in order to really trust him. And how can you know that he's really with you? You can really know he's with you by the extent of the commitment that you have to him. Because you're 100% committed, you can know that you know that you know that God's going to work it out for you. Amen? But if you're 50% committed, it's like, gee, I hope God helps me, and I'm not really sure that's going to happen. And we need to be really careful of that. So God's always present even when you're unaware of him. I'm a bit monotonous here, but God's always there. Are you getting the message? God's always there. And I'll say it again, cold or not, God's always there. Amen? You can't separate yourself from God. He's everywhere at all times. And if you call on his name, Romans 10:13 says, he will hear you and answer you. Hallelujah. One of Debbie's and my favorite prayers is from that verse. It's help God. We don't know what to do. And he always answers. He always answers. Okay, let's go on. So we are all called. We're all to be 100% committed. Okay, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Yes, we're alive, but we are a sacrifice to God by serving him. We're laying down our lives. When you got baptized in water, if you haven't yet, you need to be. But when you got baptized in water, you went down in that water and you gave in to your old life and you gave it to God and you came up as a new person. Everyone get that? You are. It's a symbol of what actually is happening to you. You've committed yourself to Christ and you are going to walk with him for the rest of your life. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean you're never going to make a mistake. But thank God for the blood. Thank God for Jesus who helps us through. Amen? We've got that grace, which is wonderful. But don't use the grace. Oh, you know, well, I can do what I want to do because God will forgive me. Hey, remember that verse I read from Matthew 7 in the beginning there? Depart from me, I never knew you. You know, that's really not knowing God and who he is. That's not reading the verses that are a little bit cutting and a little bit breaking through for us, because that's where the power is. That's why I'm preaching this. It's not because I want to condemn you. I want you to break free. I want you to find a place in God where you just emancipated and Satan can't touch you. Amen? When you're committed, he can't touch you. Hallelujah. There's no guarantee in the word that he'll protect you if you're not committed. There's no guarantee. You read the word. You read the New Testament. Oh, Pastor, you're preaching from the Old Testament. No, I'm not. I'm preaching from the New Testament. Ta-da, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay? It's your reasonable service to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. That's the only place we can be when we're proving that. I want to prove God. I want to demonstrate God. I want to be out there in the street and demonstrating Jesus Christ to this world. Hallelujah. One of the things I love about being on council is that I have an extended church of people that I can preach to and share the gospel with. And now that's not everyone I meet or to any extent, but I don't know how many people I have shared the gospel with, and some of them pretty highfalutin politicians. God is able to work through us. And here's that kicker verse I told you about before, about our righteousness, Isaiah 64, 6. But we're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So don't bother trying to be righteous in yourself. Now, I'm not saying go and sin all you like and, you know, it'll be okay. But what I'm saying is, even in all your righteousness, it still has filthy rags in the sight of God. So we still need Jesus. Amen. We still need Jesus. We never get to a point where we don't need Jesus. So we need to keep submitted to him. Praise God. Okay, moving along. Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, Jesus said, hang all the law and the prophets. Those two laws. Now, he's commanded us to love one another, hasn't he? In John 13, 34 and 35, he says, I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. And he says that if we love one another, the whole world will know that we're from Christ. And we need to be able to do that and invoke those things so that God will be glorified through us. So the next one, John 15, 5 to 8, it says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without Christ, we're useless. We won't have any power. We won't have anything. And a couple of verses down, which I'm not reading today, in John 15, 16, Jesus says, you did not choose me, I chose you. So if you're a believer here today, you can't say, I'm sorry, but I'm not chosen. You are chosen. You're chosen to be a servant of Christ, and you can't get out of that, and I'm not letting you out of it. okay? We need to be committed. This is not some sort of massage I'm giving you today. I'm telling you the truth like it is. We need to be committed to Christ, saints, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And what does he say? He goes on there, after, without me, you can do nothing. If anyone in verse 6 does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. This is New Testament. Oh, I'm a New Testament Christian pastor. Good, read it. Amen. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, this is the promise. You will ask what you desire and he'll give it to you. Amen. Come on, come on. Give me a little bit of a break here. Just something to get happy about at last. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is why I preach commitment all the time, because you're only going to get the power of God when you're committed. You're only going to see the blessing of God on your life and on your family as you serve God. I've said this a dozen times, if not more, in this church over the years, is that I serve God because I want my kids to be blessed. I want my grandkids to be blessed. There's a few of them around these days. And I want my great-grandkids to be blessed. None of them around yet. But we don't just serve God for ourselves. The blessing flows down into the generations. And so being committed to God, you're doing it for your family. Amen? You're doing it for the blessing on your family. It's nothing to do what you think. It's what God thinks that matters. Remember those little bands everyone used to wear? What would Jesus do? Good reminder, we need to get some more of them. And just, you know, what do they do with the elastic? They slap their wrist or something to remind them of something. I don't know, it's sort of like almost like flailing yourself or something. But anyway, praise God. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. What a great promise. That's not just for special people, that's for all of us. I don't care where you're from or what you've done in your past, that promise is for you. If you haven't done so yet, come to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus so you can inherit the blessing. Because as you are committed to him, he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, it might not happen instantly. For years, Debbie and I moaned that we'd probably never own a house. We prayed about it for years and we sort of resigned ourselves to the fact that probably we would never own a house and our kids would have to pay the house off when we died and get the residue. But God's given us a house, fully paid. How good is God? How good is God? You see, God wants to bless you even when you don't know it. He wants to bless and use you to bless others even when you don't know it. People have come to me at times and said, you know, every time you said God bless you, but God touched my heart and I've returned to Christ. It's like, wow, that's pretty heavy. Praise God. I've told this story a dozen times, but our youngest son, Reese, he had a burst appendix many years ago when we were pastoring here. And, you know, we were checking him out and saying, you know, are you okay? He said, yeah, I just got a little pain. It's not really hurting and all that sort of stuff. It went on for 10 days. I went and asked his doctor, you know, what did she think? She said, you better bring him down to me straight away. So I took him down. She examined him. She gave me a letter. She said, go straight to John Hunter Hospital. Don't stop at home and pack. Just take him straight to hospital. I said, what's wrong? I don't think she wanted to tell me. But she said, I'm not sure, but something's really wrong. Took him down there. They did a scan and found that his appendix had burst 10 days before. You ever felt like recalcitrant parents? God was protecting him because that little, there's a webbing underneath our gut here that holds our organs in place. And it's called the omentum. And it had come up around the poison from that burst appendix and encapsulated it and sealed it. So he didn't die of sepsis. Isn't God good? We never knew about that. We never knew it until the nurse told us, who was also a Christian, by the way, said, did you hear about what happened to your son? No. He told us the story. Wow. Lord, thank you. Thank you for protecting us. Help us, Lord. We're not perfect. We're not some special people. We struggle, but we're standing in God. And in God, you will always have the victory. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go on. Verse 8 there. Sorry. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples. He wants us to bear fruit. He's appointed us to bear fruit. And it's part of what we need to be doing, saints. Praise God. 2 Chronicles 6, 8 and 9 from Hanai the prophet to King Asa. Now, King Asa was an amazing king. I don't know if many of you know the story, but it's not a long story, but it's an incredible story. He became king and he wanted to run a righteous kingdom. He even sacked his mother, who was queen, from being queen because she was worshipping idols in the high places. He chucked her out. He got God's blessing upon his life. But in the end, Asa broke away from God to fight his brothers Israel because he was the king of Judah and Israel. They were separate kingdoms, okay, and they were at war. So what does Asa do? Instead of going to God, he goes to Syria and asks the king of Syria to back him up in the war so he can beat his brothers. So God's blessing was lifted. He got diseased in his feet and he never ever sought God to heal him. He never repented of his sin, and so he died in his sin. You know, the Bible says, you know, we need to complete the course. We need to finish the course. We need to finish well, and we need to finish in Christ. But this is the story from there, and the prophet comes to Asa when he's done these things, and he says, "We're not the Ethiopians and the Lubans, a huge host with many chariots and horsemen."
You've been listening to New Hope for Life. For a copy of today's message or series, visit www.newhopeforlife.org.au to download them directly from our media page. Are you wondering what it means to be in a personal relationship with God? We would love to offer you a free pack including a CD message from Pastor Colin Grigg and information on how to become connected to God. Simply visit our website and request the information pack or contact us with any questions you may have at newhopeforlife.org.au. You can also write to us at New Hope for Life, P.O. Box 79, Swansea, New South Wales, 22821. New Hope for Life is a faith-based ministry relying on the gracious support of our listeners. If you would like to support this ministry in our efforts to spread the truth of God's Word, please visit newhopeforlife.org.au and click on the support button. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you can be with us again next time when we present another edition of New Hope for Life.